This is AU Hoop Talk with Coach Mike Brennan, a weekly look at all things Eagles basketball. AU Hoop Talk with Coach Mike Brennan is brought to you by our team, AU Corporate Partners, Ameritel Corporation, your hometown place for copiers, DC Trails Charter Bus Services, and Geico Insurance.
Back out to Reed, right side. He puts up the three and he makes it. Jesse Reed with a big three, and the Eagles have the seven-point lead over the Badgers. Vosage, top of the key, puts up the three and he hits it. Marco Vosage with a big three-pointer, and the Eagles are up 11. Charlie sees a seam, takes it, puts the shot up, gets it, and draws the foul. So Charlie Jones, big time again for him, gets the basket, draws the harm.
Now with AU head basketball coach Mike Brennan, here's the voice of American University basketball, Dan Lang.
Welcome to AU Hoop Talk with Coach Mike Brennan, Dan Lang, alongside Coach Brennan and Director of Athletics Billy Walker. We're less than an hour away from the season tipping off right here on Federal News Radio. Your Eagles on the road for a game against the Rhode Island Rams of the Atlantic 10. So, Coach, here we are. You ready? Ready to roll? Ready to get this thing started?
We are ready, yeah. I mean, we've been practicing against each other for a while now, so I'm ready to see some different faces.
Yeah, Mike, you're talking about different faces. You know, you've been here long enough now that Jesse and Marco are the only two players that you did not bring here. So how does that change? You know, obviously there's some great players here when you got here, but how does it change now having the vast majority of the team, guys that you brought here that you knew were going to fit into your system?
Yeah, now we were real lucky when we came that Tony Rublicki and Pee Wee and Schoaf and guys like that were here, Jesse. So, you know, this freshman class is sort of our first full recruiting class where we had a lot of time to sort of see these guys play. And, you know, we knew they really fit in. So, you know, the transition's going well. I'm happy with, you know, with the guys that we have now. Now it's just a sort of question of developing them. I'm excited about what they can be, but we got a lot of work to do.
Will we see much of a change in style this year from the past couple years with the guys that you inherited being such a big piece to the team? And now, as you mentioned, Schoaf and Pee-wee have, you know, exited. Are we going to see much of a change in style this season from especially last year?
Well, I think, it was clear that, you know, Tony, Schoaf and Pee-wee were going to play and Jesse was going to play. They were clearly the best players and they were going to play as many minutes as I can get out of them, as we saw. So I think, you know, with the guys that we have now, there seems to be sort of more options, more question marks too. So we got to figure out, you know, who are the guys that are actually going to help us win games, you know, immediately. So I think a lot of people are going to get, you know, opportunity early to show what they can do.
You mentioned question marks, and one of the biggest question marks is who's going to bring the ball up and down the floor, realizing that, you know, your style of offense doesn't necessarily have a defined point guard like we've seen with Pee-wee. Who are you going to sort of turn to in that role?
We've seen Jesse do it, obviously, the past 2 years. But, I mean, Alex Peckhane and James Washington are two guys that are sort of primary ball handlers. So, you know, we're looking to see what both of those guys can do. But to be honest, that's not a huge question for me. It's more, you know, once we get over half court, what happens there? That's where Pee-wee was most effective. We didn't get pressed a whole lot. But, you know, that's something that we have to think about and see as we play this year because, you know, with the shot clock, people might start pressing a little bit more. So it might be more of a factor.
Talk a little bit about how you use scrimmages at the beginning of the year, especially this year, you know, how valuable they've been because of the great change that you're going to have in your lineup.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, you have the sort of choice between doing an exhibition game or a scrimmage. The exhibition game, a lot of people like doing that because you put on the uniform, you have fans, you sort of go through the ritual of playing a real game, you know, which is good. But I prefer to scrimmage, which is more of a practice setting. You can stop it a little bit more. You can, you know, do possessions. You can play more. So we did two scrimmages and, you know, I was happy to see, you know, what our guys were able to do. You know, it sort of gave us an idea of where we were offensively and defensively and what we need to do to go forward. So it's, again, the preseason is a little longer, you know, with the new rules. So it's good to sort of see some different faces.
And you say you learned some stuff from the scrimmages. Were you happy, especially with some of the freshmen, how they performed against other competition?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm excited about all four freshmen. I don't know how much, you know, if one's going to play more than the other, But all four guys did a lot of good things, you know, that make me feel that they're definitely going to be good players in the future. It's just how long does it take each of them to sort of acclimate to, you know, just the college basketball.
Now, when you look at a scrimmage over the exhibition, you said that a scrimmage is, I guess, maybe more like a practice or whatever. Are there parameters that you talk about with the other coach prior, like, okay, you know, we're able to stop it here or there for a teaching moment, or we're not, or we're like, how does all that kind of work into how the agreement comes?
I mean, it's real sort of casual, to be honest with you. I mean, you show up and you just sort of talk about what you're looking to get out of it. You talk about it a little before you get there. But basically, you want to play 2 20-minute halves just to, you know, get your guys the feel of, you know, playing against other people and no stoppages. And, you know, you got to fight. You can't, you know, in practice, you're sort of stopping things a lot more to teach. Whereas, you know, in the scrimmage, you try to let them go a little bit so they get used to, you know, fighting through difficult moments without the stoppage of a game. And then, you know, you're obviously getting your vocal cords ready for the referees as well. So,
what after these couple scrimmages, what is it that concerns you most leading into this season? Anything or any couple things in particular that you sit there and go, all right, we really need to shore this up?
Well, I mean, not necessarily concerned. I mean, you know, I don't know if I'll ever be able to stop talking about Pee-wee, but
right.
He just did so many things during games that made you win. And now we're just trying to find out, you know, we have a new team, a lot of different, you know, new faces and everything. So we're looking to see who's going to be the guy or guys that are going to be out there and sort of do things to make you win games. You know, all the little things, going after offensive rebounds and taking charges and getting loose balls and, you know, simply remembering where to be on offense and defense.
So since Dan asked you what concerns you, I'll go the other side. And since I'm a pessimist enough, I don't need that. What did you see out of the scrimmages that you were happy about?
Well, I mean, the guys are working hard, you know, and sort of all the things that we worked on in the preseason leading up to the scrimmages, I thought we did well. And then the things that's gotten neglected were things that, you know, it was obvious that we had to work on. But, I mean, I think our guys, they share the ball. They play, they cut hard, they play hard. You know, it's just sort of little technical things that we got to shore up. But I was happy with all of their, you know, their energy on the court, whether they started or whether they came in. You know, so the scrimmage, you play a couple 20-minute halves or something, and then you do like an extra 10-minute segment. So some guys didn't play a whole lot, but when they got their opportunity, they were out there, they were talking, they were playing hard. So that's the most important thing to me, is that, you know, everyone understands that, hey, you know, it's a long season. Everyone has to work hard. We just got to continue to get better. And I think everyone was on the same page in that regard.
Now, big man Paris Margos says he's comfortable in the system, of course, having learned a lot last season after transferring in. Now, I know you expect a lot from your big men. How has his game grown since he's arrived on campus at AU?
Paris has worked really hard. I mean, he was here over the summer. You know, what we ask of our post guys and our big guys, I think, is a little different. It's a little more difficult just because they're doing things that they're not used to doing. He's been terrific. I mean, he keeps getting better every day. Now it's, you know, I keep reminding him too that it's a long season. It's a long process. You know, he's got 2 years to play, so it's not always going to be perfect. But as long as, you know, each day and each game that he shows improvement, that's all we're looking for. So, you know, he's a big physical presence. And now it's just sort of shoring up the skill level, because he's going to have the ball in his hands a lot.
And I guess that's a big thing, to make sure that the confidence level is there, and not if there is a hiccup early on as he is integrated into the system, that he gets down on himself.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, it was only 1 year with Tony, and, you know, our field goal percentage was really high, and Tony was getting a lot of assists, but One reason people don't realize our field goal percentage was so high was because we turned it over a lot, so we didn't get shots, you know. So so the point is, I gave Tony a lot of leeway. You know, he was throwing the ball basically all over the place, you know, early on, and you got to give guys a little rope to, you know, figure out the sort of margin of error of when they're making certain passes. So we're sort of going through that right now with Paris. But, you know, just like Tony, he's been working hard, and, you know, I'm confident that, you know, he'll be ready once league play rolls around.
Now, you mentioned that we're going to see a lot more from Alex this season. How does his style differ from Pee-wee's and how is it similar? I mean, I realize Pee-wee was, you know, one in and of himself, but in what ways does Alex bring the same things, and in what ways are they maybe a little different?
I mean, Alex, again, has worked really hard. He's worked hard on the shooting, and, you know, he's a much more consistent shooter. He's a tough kid. You know, he was, you know, a guy getting us extra shots, you know, going after offensive rebounds. He's got, like, some scrappiness to him, some strength and grit. So, again, it's just sort of, you know, slowing the game down for him a little bit. But again, you know, it's comparing him to Pee-wee, you know, that's he less awesomeness. but Pee-wee's a hard measure. So, but he saw, you know, he watched Pee-wee, he watched everything he was able to do. So now he's got, you know, 3 years to sort of try to emulate that.
And will there be a big change when James in there versus Alex, you know, within the game?
Yeah, I mean, there's some subtle differences. I mean, I like James a lot. He picks things up very quickly. You know, he already sort of knows what he should be doing and where he should be, you know, within your offense and defensively. But he also recognizes where other people should be offensively and defensively. And he's actually talking a lot, which is unusual for a freshman. Normally, freshmen are just worried about, you know, themselves and where they should be. But I'm happy that he understands that he needs to sort of lead in that way.
Talking about James Washington, freshman from Norwalk, California, of course, part of L.A. County out in California. Delonte Jones is another one of your freshmen coming in that some have even chosen as the Patriot League preseason rookie of the year. How do you see him fitting into the scheme of things here as the season tips off here in just a few minutes?
Delonte is very talented. He can really score. So he's going to be playing a lot, whether he starts or not. You know, it doesn't matter. He's going to be in the game, and you know he can do a lot of different things. So again, we're sort of striking that balance when you have a guy that can sort of score on his own. You know, we're trying to get him to sort of learn his offense, so you know he knows when the scoring opportunities come within the offense. Because in practice, he can sort of break guys down, you know, easily. And it's not sort of realistic. So we're sort of trying to strike that balance. But he's been terrific. He's a really hard worker. You know, he's staying late, working on a shot, all that kind of stuff. So I'm excited about all four of these guys, to be honest.
You talk about hard workers. Charlie Jones obviously has defined that for you guys, coming from a walk-on now, has a scholarship, fired 40% from three-point range in league play last season. How much do the other guys look up to him for what he's accomplished, where he's come from?
Well, I think they see what he does on a daily basis. He's sort of taken over Schoaf's role as me, telling everyone to watch him and do what he does. But you can see it in practice. I mean, he'll you know, just make a hard cut and be wide open. And you see, you know, the freshmen recognize, like, wow, good cut, Charlie. You know, so it's like just his sort of his daily work ethic, I think, is obvious. And the freshmen recognize it and they're realizing, wow, this isn't easy. But they're trying to sort of come along and, you know, they recognize what he does and they're trying to emulate that.
I want to talk about Marco Vasic, of course. You know, he did so much for you last season down the stretch, even played the big man role and did it successfully, did it with some success. Where do you see him sort of fitting in here? Because he has played so many different spots and he has done so much. Where does he fit in as the season begins?
Yeah, well, I mean, like you said, for the past 2 years, he's been sort of like a utility guy. And he was terrific down the stretch, last year, just playing the center spot. He's a very good passer. He's a tough kid. He's not afraid to, you know, make big plays and, you know, take a big shot. But I see him sort of doing that again this year. You know, he's already played center for us. He's playing the forward spot. So as we develop, you know, as Paris develops, as the young guys develop, you know, we'll sort of need him to, you know, do all of those things again. He'll have to play forward. He'll have to play center. And he's been terrific in practice and in the scrimmages. He's, you know, he knows where he should be. He knows, but he knows that he has to let everyone else know where they should be. So he's been very vocal and, you know, he's been, the upperclassmen have been terrific so far.
And he's a good attitude guy. I mean, he seems like wherever you put him, he's happy to just be playing. And
yeah, no, he's just so happy to be here at AU. You know, he loves playing and, you know, he he's not like one of these guys where he's at practice and he's never looks like he doesn't want to be there. He's always ready to go, excited to go. And he's been a great surprise. Like everyone talks about Jesse because he scores all the points and him sort of being the leader. But Marco's been terrific just vocally in practice and just coming in and sort of ready to go. And that's what you need, you know, just building a program. You need guys like, you know, Marco and Charlie that just, you know, show up in the gym and start working at a high, high rate. So everyone sort of follows suit.
And you mentioned Jesse. Is that... Has he welcomed that leadership role?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it's going to be a challenge for him because he's a scorer, and he has to do all these other things that I'm talking about. You know, all the tough plays, all the the gritty stuff. But he also has to keep looking to score and to shoot. You know, so that's a difficult balance. But he's been terrific at it so far, and we got to make sure that he continues to be aggressive offensively.
Time for our first timeout here on AU Hoop Talk with Coach Mike Brennan. Want to remind you, fans and alumni, get your tickets now for the men's home opener Tuesday, November 17th at 7:30 p.m. in Bender. The first 1,000 fans will receive a free Eagles basketball desk pop-up and keychain schedule tag, courtesy of DC Trails Charter Bus Services. Buy online at AUEagles.com or call 202-885-TIXX. Again, that number, 202-885-TIXX. Today, back with more right after this on Federal News Radio. Welcome back to AU Hoop Talk with Coach Brennan. The Eagles tip off their season just after the top of the hour right here on Federal News Radio. American and Rhode Island to go up against the Rams. And let's take a look at Rhode Island. They're coming off a trip to the NIT where they lost in the second round to Stanford. Had 23 wins a year ago. And the Rams hoping to contend for the top spot in the A-10, expecting to hear their name called on Selection Sunday. So a pretty big game here to tip off the season. And not only those numbers, but obviously that means they have some pretty good players. And one of them is E.C. Matthews, who's a junior and it looked at as an NBA prospect. What have you seen from him during the films that you've watched?
Yeah, well, he's a handful. He's a terrific player. He can really score. You know, he's a difficult matchup. We're going to have five guys to sort of be thinking about stopping him. But, I mean, Rhode Island in general, they bring most of the team back. So they're, playing such a veteran team. It's going to be a tough challenge as a first game because they're a veteran team. They're sort of ahead of us right now. It'll be interesting to see what our guys do, as long as we compete. And, just want to make it as difficult for them to score on defense and then sort of run our offense and try to see if we can get a good shot each time down court.
And you mentioned defense, and that's one of the hallmarks of what they do, what the Rams do. One of the big reasons for that is Hassan Martin, their forward, who has, I think he averages like 4 blocks a game, and against LaSalle last year, don't quote me on it, but maybe had 10. It was insane what he did. When you look at him and you look at sort of their style of defense, how do you guys match up?
They really attack you. They really attack you, and that's just an extension of Coach Hurley. I mean, just from his dad, from him, his playing days, his coaching days. That's what they do. They're known for defense. And they're known for attacking you. So, we got to be able to sort of handle their pressure, full court and half court, handle their physicality, just be able to sort of stay composed and, continue to run our stuff. So, again, it'll be a good test early on. It'll be interesting to see what we do.
Yeah, when you look at Rhode Island man-to-man, their D held opponents to 91 points per 100 possessions last year, which ranked ninth in the country. You mentioned Dan Hurley. He's turned the Rhode Island program around. This is going to be his fourth season. Went from 8 wins to 14 wins to 23 wins. So they're hoping to get back to the NCAA tournament for the first time in 1999. I didn't realize that it had been that long since they had been.
Yeah, well, I mean, not a surprise. He was a great, great player, mm-hmm. terrific competitor. He already, did great things at Wagner when he was there. So I'm not surprised. He's, from a coaching family. I've known him for a long time. So I know, that he's a competitor and his teams are going to, sort of reflect his personality. That's one of the best leagues in the country. And to be at the top of that league is, a heck of an accomplishment.
Yeah, Mike, that's kind of an interesting point about how we schedule our non-conference games. Can you talk a little bit about the process that you and your staff go through?
Well, every year you want to, you know, definitely challenge yourself. You know, you want to play notable programs like Rhode Island. We're playing LSU. We're playing VCU. So you definitely want to play, you know, teams from the top leagues in the country, you know, play against that caliber of player, play in those types of atmospheres. And it's great for recruiting. You know, it's, you know, telling recruits that we're going down to LSU and playing against Ben Simmons, you know, one of the, you know, he's a top five sort of player in the country as a freshman preseason. He's, you know, a lottery pick. So, you know, kids get excited about that. And, you know, and it's great for college basketball. Just that's the experience that these guys want. You know, they want to be challenged and tested. And it's good for programs like us to see where we are at the beginning of the season. And then, you know, throughout the year, I'll be talking to our guys about just getting better every day. You know, you want to sort of find out, just like with the scrimmages, you want to find out where you are against the best. And then, you know, sort of see what you need to improve upon, and then, you know, hopefully move forward.
Now, I'm sure there's some comfort level in having a few constants on the out-of-conference schedule. And coming up on Tuesday, the home opener has the Hampton Pirates of the MEAC coming into town. You guys beat them last year at their place, 64-60, and came away with the win, taking the lead for the final time with about 20 seconds left to go. I think Pee-wee had an and-one that helped you guys into the win column. This Pirates team, despite having a losing record last year, was able to win the MEAC tournament, get to the Big Dance. This year, they are chosen second in the MEAC behind North Carolina Central. What have you seen from the Pirates this year? And they returned four starters. That maybe is a little different from what we saw last year.
Right. Yeah, you said there were a little comfort. There's no comfort. you know, I think the experience of going to the NCAA tournament is a huge thing. And obviously bringing back so many, you know, so many starters, so many experienced guys. And Pee-wee was awesome in that game. I mean, he had an unbelievable game. But again, it's, you know, in order to get ready for league play, you know, you even, you know, if, you know, they're not nationally ranked teams, the teams we're playing are, you know, great college basketball mm-hmm. programs that have been to NCAA tournaments that win their league. And you got a team like Stony Brook coming in. I mean, you're even, you know, games like that, you're playing against high level competition. So, you know, it's just good preparation for the league and playing against teams like that. You know, I think it's, you know, it's good for our guys to play against the best teams.
And that's Tuesday at Bender Arena at 7:30 p.m.
And what kind of balance are you looking for there? You know, obviously you got LSU and, like you said, VCU and Rhode Island. You know, you don't want six games against LSU.
Right. No, exactly. I'd like to try to get teams that you feel, you know, you got a good chance of winning. Having success sort of early on our first year sort of hurt that a little bit and made it harder to schedule teams and schedule games. But then, you know, you get opponents that, you know, they're looking for a high RPI team. So then, you know, you got good teams that want to play you, which is, a good and bad thing. But it makes it difficult for scheduling. But, you know, to be honest, at the end of the day, every team is good. You know, it doesn't matter, you know, where teams are ranked RPI-wise or within their league. You know, every game, it brings a new matchup challenge. So, you know, there's no easy games, and you got to go into the season thinking like that.
Time for another timeout here on AU Hoop Talk with Coach Mike Brennan. An AU basketball game is the perfect venue to host your next party or group events. Organize a group birthday party or neighborhood outing and enjoy discounts and recognition at the game. All groups receive block seating, savings off the box office price, a welcome on the Bender video board, and a visit from Claude the Eagle to your seats, all for as low as $3 a person. Call the Athletics Ticket Office 202-885-TIXX. Again, the number 202-885-TIXX to book your outing today. Back with more AU Hoop Talk with Coach Mike Brennan as we approach the top of the hour and the beginning of the basketball season in Rhode Island against the Rams right here on Federal News Radio. Welcome back to AU Hoop Talk with Coach Mike Brennan. We're approaching the top of the hour in the Eagles' first game of the 2015-16 season in Rhode Island against the A-10's Rams, and you can hear it right here on Federal News Radio. As the season begins, there are some pretty big rules changes. The shot clock shrinking from 35 to 30 seconds. Coaches will no longer be able to call timeouts during live ball situations. Teams will get just 10 total seconds to advance the ball past half court instead of resetting the clock if there's a stoppage. Refs can use replay reviews for a potential shot clock violation on made baskets throughout the game. The arc underneath the basket will be extended out another foot from 3 to 4 feet in an effort to reduce the number of collisions. Those are just a few of them. There's a lot of rules changes this year. The overall goal is to try to speed up the game, increase the scoring. They saw 5 points shaved off last year off the total scoring. Do you think these changes will work?
Well, it'll be interesting to see. I'm not a fan of all the changes, to be honest. I think we're heading in the wrong direction towards like all the NBA rules. Mm-hmm. But I mean, the 30-second shot clock didn't really affect us in either scrimmages or, throughout the preseason we've been using it. So I don't, that hasn't had a huge impact. But I think going down to 24 would. And it would be bad. A few of the rules I agree with, and they make sense. There's one where not scoring a basket when a guy charges into a guy. I think that makes sense. The 10-second rule, getting the ball over half court. I think that rewards good defense, which is good. I'm not a fan of the timeouts just because, we're dealing with, young kids, and they're 19 and they're 20, and just to keep them engaged and focused for like the 4 minute segments that we already have, with the media timeouts is difficult enough. So I think it'll remain to be seen, but I envision just longer stretches as sloppiness, to be honest. we'll see. We'll see.
Whether you're a fan of them all or not, they are what they are, right? So how does that impact the amount of time you spend in practice, with mainly your upper class, because they've been playing for 1, 2, 3 years under old rules. What, having to get them used to the rules, how does that change the way you got to coach?
Yeah, to be honest, it won't change a whole lot. We'll have to adjust during the games. They just got to be ready to, fight through longer stretches. If you're having like a difficult stretch, the guys have to be able to sort of fight through those a little bit. I don't think it'll change the way we play, the way we, teach the game and coach the game. We're still doing the same things. It's, just trying to emphasize, our fundamentals and sharing the ball. Not having a guy dribble the ball for more than 5 seconds, that would drive me crazy to watch that. That's another rule that I think, eventually over time will just hurt, teamwork and emphasizing sharing the ball. It's not something that we do. So, and I think most people, they'll talk about the Princeton offense and the 30-second shot clock, but, it hasn't affected us at all, and I don't think it will.
Now, you talk about the offense side of things, but, of course, defense has been one of the big hallmarks of your first couple years here at AU. How will it affect, or has it affected on that end of the floor?
In that regard, it's a good thing, because if we're going to play all these freshmen, I'd rather just defend for 30 seconds than 35. Because, even with a good veteran team that, they're on point, they know what they're doing, they're everywhere they should be, it's hard to stop guys. And, you always sort of, the shot clock's running down and you give up that last shot at the 33 or 34 second mark. So now it's down to 30. So hopefully that'll help our younger guys defensively.
And we'll see how all this plays out this season. That'll do it for this edition of AU Hoop Talk with Coach Mike Brennan. For Coach, for Billy, for Ben, who hit all the right buttons, I'm Dan, reminding you to stick around as your Eagles tip off their season in Rhode Island against the Rams in minutes right here on Federal News Radio.
Thank you for listening to AU Hoop Talk with Coach Mike Brennan. Today's show was brought to you by our team, AU Corporate Partners, Ameritel Corporation, your hometown place for copiers, DC Trails, Charter Bus Services, and Geico Insurance. AU Hoop Talk with Coach Mike Brennan on Federal News Radio. Archived episodes available online at AUEagles.com.